Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Dalet. We begin on Lamed Dalet, Omid Aleph, six lines from the top with the words, Gidul Bar Re'iloi. We're learning today, Le'ilei Nishmas, Arthur Jacobs, Usher, Ben Yitzhak Halevi. All the shows we learn for should have been Leah from our learning. Okay, so we pick up with a story. Gidul Bar Re'iloi, that was the name of a person, Shadar Lo Gittor Lidvisu, sent through a shliach a get to his wife. Ozal, the shliach went, Ozal Shlicha, Ashgecha, he found the Havayotzva the Novla. He found that she was sitting and she was Novla. Rashi tells us this was a regis, she was weaving. And he said to her, Amalo, Hogitech, your husband sent me this get, please accept the get. Now he didn't give it to her yet, he just told her, Rashi said, Hareyula, he showed it to her, below Misorola, but he didn't yet give it to her. She said, don't give it to me today, give it to me tomorrow. Amale, the wife says to this Shaliach, Zeal, please go away, Hashta, now. Don't give it to me now. Meha, the Mefarshim explained this means Mehacha. Vasa lemacha. Come back tomorrow. Right now I'm busy weaving, and I don't want to accept the get right now. Come back tomorrow, and I'll take the get then. No. This shaliach goes back to the husband, Ozal ligabe, to relay the message that she said she'll accept the get tomorrow. The amale, and told him this is what happened. And what does the husband say? Pasach, he opens up the amar, and he says, Ah, Baruch Hatov v'hanetiv. Sounds like he was very happy that the get wasn't given to his wife. So does that change anything around? So we had alluded to this machlokas that we're about to have right now between Abaye and Rava in a previous year, a day or two ago. And now we'll see it. So Abaye says in this situation, Abaye Omar, yes, the person said, Baruch Hatov v'hanetiv, however, v'lo batul gitta. He didn't nullify the shlichus. And the shliach can still go and deliver that get, and that get is still a good get. So therefore, this shaliach can still go and give that very same get to the wife. Because when he said, Baruch Hatov v'meitiv, he was just basically saying, you know, that's great. She didn't accept it today. Baruch Hashem, she'll accept it tomorrow. And that's it. He's not mevatel the get because he didn't specifically state so. If he'd said, then good, don't give it to her. So then the ability of that shaliach to give the get would have been null and void. Whereas Rava Omar, when he meant and he said, Baruch Hatov v'meitiv, he was essentially being mevatel the get, ubatel gita. That get can no longer be given by that shaliach. Now, if we go like the Gemara we had the day before, it says we had a machlokis as to whether the get itself is nullified. So, according to that opinion, the get, in fact, would not be good. You'd have to write a new get. But anyway, that's an aside. The bottom line is, Rava says that his saying, Baruch Hatov v'meitiv, essentially nullifies the shlichus and possibly nullifies the get also, according to the opinion that the get is nullified. Now, what are Abaye and Rava arguing about? B'maiko Miflige, as we'll see, this is one of the famous six Yal Kigams that would end up posketing like Abaye. So B'maiko Miflige, what are they arguing about? So the argument is, B'gilui Das, that's the Gimel in the Yal Kigam, Gilui Das, B'gilui Daita, B'gita Kamiflige. When the husband shows that he doesn't want that get to be delivered, do we say that the shlichus has been nullified or not? Without him specifically stating so, just by his actions, do we nullify the get? So clearly, Abaye says we do not. The fact that he said Baruch Atah V'meitiv, that doesn't nullify the get. Whereas Rava says that does nullify the get, ubatel gita. How valuable is his saying, Baruch Atah V'meitiv, is demonstrating without specifically stating that he doesn't want the get to be given. So Abaye says, worthless, doesn't do anything. Whereas Rava says, a gilui das, that is worth something and it would be mevatel the shlichus. Where do they each get their sources from? So the Gemara says, oh my Rava, Rava says, minah aminallah. Where do I get my source for to say that in fact, in this situation, the get is batel? Gilui das begito milsuhi, it would be mevatel, his demonstrating in some way, without specifically stating so, just his demonstrating he didn't want the get to be given, is in fact going to nullify the shlichus, and possibly even nullify the get, as we said. It's because, this is says, the Rav Sheshes, once a maisa happened with Rav Sheshes, ashkele gito lau gabra, bal karche. The Tosus Rit says that the word Ashkeche means he forced him to, so he forced this get upon this husband to make the husband say, Rotsani, that the husband should willingly give this get, but it required a little bit of pressure by the basin to get the husband to be in that position where he says, Rotsani, I want to deliver this get. So Roshesh is based in, pushed upon this person to go and give a get, quote, Baal Korche. And this person wrote out the get and gave it to the shliach, And he told V'oma luhu l'sade, he said to the witnesses who were going to go and deliver this get, who were writing the get for him, he said that Rav Sheshes said you should be mevatel the get. Now, what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara will explain in a moment, but basically, this, according to Rava, showed that the actions of this person, because Rav Sheshes didn't say anything. This person, according to Rava, was essentially saying, I don't want this get to be given. I may have said I was going to give it willingly, but I really don't want it to be given. So this is essentially a gilui das. A gilui das begita is milsehi, according to Rava, and therefore, va'atzruche Rav Sheshes gita achrina. Bottom line is, Rav Sheshes said, yes, he, in fact, nullified the get, and according to the opinion that not only did he nullify the shlichus, but he nullified the get. So they have to write actually a new get for it. That's Rava's opinion, and he says this story with the Rav Sheshes is a perfect example of Gilui Das is in fact Milsehi. Oh, that's what Rava says. Abaye disagrees. Abaye, how does he learn the story? He says, what? Atu Rav Sheshes Mavato Gito the Inshehava? Was Rav Sheshes in the habit of going to be Mavato Gitin? This husband said to the witnesses that were writing the get, Rav Sheshes said to be Mavato Get. Rav Sheshes doesn't go around being Mavato Gitin. So what was he saying? So therefore, Atu Rav Sheshes Mavato Gito the Inshehava? That can't be. Ella, what really happened was Ihu Batla, the husband himself, he had said, this get is not valid. And therefore, Baha'i, the Karmelula Hachi. So why did he say that Rav Sheshes said to be Mavata Leget? What was he trying to do? It was because Mishum Da Penuye. Rashi explains that the Bnei Adam HaMakim V'choftin also B'mitzas Rav Sheshes. They forced this person, this recalcitrant husband, to go and give this get. And they took him out behind the base then and they were beating him up. So Bnei Adam Makin V'choftin also B'mitzas Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes commanded them, listen, we have the halachic right under certain circumstances. Basin has the halachic right to force the person, even by sometimes physical measures. Certainly, that's not something that we do today. But there were times in Basin that he had the right to take into their own hands certain things, extrajudicial powers of the Basin. And Rav Sheshes had told these strong-armed people to go and force this guy to give a get. And he was saying, so they were surprised at him. And they said, why are you being mevatel? So Rav Sheshes Sivakein. The reason I'm being mevatel is because I was only forced to do this because of Rav Sheshes. And that's why he now told them that Rav Sheshes, so to say, had said to be mevatel the get, because he really didn't want to give this get. And that's why Rav Sheshes said you have to write a new get. You have to have a new shlichus over here because he was mevatel the original get. But doesn't bring a raya to Rava, doesn't bring a raya to Abaye as well. Each of them understood the story differently. Now the gist that we have is the Amar Abaye, but some of them far should break down. It's now a separate statement, so it should be Amar Abaye. In any event, Abaye says, "Bino Aminalo, where do I get my opinion that even though the husband intimated by doing something such as saying Barakatov Vemeitiv, that Abaye holds Gilui Daito Begito Lav Milsi, it's worth nothing. So where do I know my opinion? What's the source of my opinion?" So he brings down, Aminalo, where do I get it from? Because the Rav Yehuda, once there was a story with Rav Yehuda, Ashkele Gita, he forced a get to be given to the son-in-law, Lechasone, of the Rav Yirmiyah Bira. He forced this son-in-law of Rav Yirmiyah Bira to go and give a get to his wife. And this son-in-law of Rav Yirmiyah Bira wasn't happy. Ubatle. After he was forced, he did say to give the get, but then he changed his mind, and he was mevatel. Everybody agrees if he physically says to the shlichim, or to the wife before she receives the get, that the get is batel, so that we had previously in the Gemara, that certainly is going to be batel. So what did Rav Yehuda do? Tana, he repeated. Tana here means he was Mishana, Rashi says. He repeated it a second time, and therefore, Ashkele, he forced him to go and give it a second time. And again, this son-in-law of Rav Yirmiyah Bira, Ubatle, he again said that the get is null and void. Hadar Tana, again, Rav Yehuda went, va'ashkele al-karche, he forced him to go and give this get against his will, but this time he told the witnesses, Yomaluhu, Lisade, he told the people that we'd be delivering the get, Osivu kare biunaihu, go and put, Rashi has the word kare over here as gourds. He said, go cut up little pieces of yerek, simu kinivas yerek, diced vegetables, this gourd, dak into small pieces of these diluin of these gourds into your ears, shalotishmu, bitulo, that you, they'll be like earplugs. These little pieces of vegetable, of the gourd, will be like earplugs in your ears, and you won't be able to hear him say he's mevatelit. And therefore, it won't be batel. Now, they could clearly see in this situation, as Abai says, v'isok adaitoch gilui data b'gitim ilsei, they could clearly see the guy is in an uproar over here, and he seems to be trying to tell him something, albeit they have the vegetables in their ears. That's the girsa that we have. The Tosus Rid says that it's not kira over here as in a gourd, but it's kiri, which would be wax. So he puts some sort of wax in his ears, puts earplugs in his ears. In either event, it's the same idea. So the Gemara continues and says, if you would hold like Rava, that this gilui das, he's demonstrating that he doesn't want this get to be given, is enough. So then, they saw him like jumping up and down, running after them. So that seemed to indicate he didn't want the get to be given, and yet since they didn't hear him say it, so it's just a gilui das, and you see that Rav Yehuda said, go and put the wax or the vegetables in your ears so they act as earplugs, and you can't hear him say it. So even though you see that he doesn't want the get to be given, that's not enough. You have to actually hear him say it. So therefore, Abaye says, this is my proof, that gilui milso begita is lav milsehi, and therefore, even though it looks like he wants this get to be, in fact, nullified, he didn't state it in a way that they could hear it, and therefore it's not nullified. No, what does Rava do with this? The Rava explains, no, I decor right, that's right. Now that they see him running after him, they're just assuming that he really wants them to give it. The Amaluhu, they assume he's just trying to tell them, Ashur, Havulohaya. Rashi explains, his chasku lisito maher. He's encouraging them, he's spurring them on to go and give the get faster. So this Ashur, Rashi explains, is called Ashar to Dayani. It's like a document from the judges. In other words, he's demonstrating, according to Rava, that he wants the get to be given, and therefore this Ashur is a Lashon of Chizuk, so they don't necessarily see this as a demonstration that he doesn't want the get to be given, and therefore, according to Rav, it's not a problem. It's only a demonstration that you don't want the get to be given, that Rav says you take seriously and say it's milsahi, but here it's not clear that it was a demonstration not to give the get. As far as the Eidim knew, it was a demonstration to give the get, and they had the wax in their ears, they can't hear it, they have the knivas yarik in their ears, and they can't hear it, but they're assuming that this situation is not retracting the get, but he's spurring them on, and therefore, this is not a good proof, according to Rav. Now, Abai tries again. Yom Abai says, okay, you don't want that proof. What about this one? You know, I mean, Allah, where do I get my shita that if a person demonstrates that he doesn't want the get to be given, but he doesn't specifically state so, that it's lav milsahi. So he says, because the once was a maisa, the hahu, the once was a person, the amalu who said to the witnesses before he divorced his wife, ilo asina at losin yomin lehevi gita. So he gave a conditional get, and he says, give this get to my wife, but with the understanding that if I come back within 30 days, it's null and void. If I come back after 30 days, then it's a valid get. So what happens? He comes back on day 30. Asa upaske mavra. We had this case already. The river is overflowing, and basically, he can't get across the river. The ferry boat that normally would transport you across this river is on the other side. And therefore, he's jumping up and down and screaming, hey, I'm back! He tells everybody, look, chazu di asoy, see, I'm back, and therefore the get should be bato, because I said if I come back within 30 days, it gets bato. But he didn't fully come back, he's on the other side of the river. And how do we paskin? We Yomer Shmuel, lo shmei masyo. We do not consider him having come back, and therefore he wasn't back at the end of the 30th day, and the get is a valid get, because the tanai of if he doesn't come back within 30 days is fulfilled, because he didn't come back. He's on the other side of the river. So Abaye says, here you see the guy's jumping up and down saying, hey, I'm back. And yet we see that in this situation, Abaye holds, gilui milsa, gilui daita begita, lav milsa he. It's nothing. No, what does Rava do with this? Sounds like a good proof. For Rava, he says, no. Atu hasam lebatuli gita bai? Is this person saying, I hereby declare that the get should be nullified? He is saying, I'm back. Hasam likiyume tinaye kabai. He's not saying I don't want the get to be given. He's mistakenly saying, I'm back, and therefore the get is nullified because the tanai is not fulfilled, that I don't come back within 30 days. Then it's a get. But here, I'm coming back within 30 days. So he's basically saying it's not a valid get. That's different than saying I'm retracting the get. And v'hal lo'i kayim tonight. Bottom line is, the teretz that he's giving is not a valid teretz. He's saying it's not a valid get. And it is a valid get because he didn't come back. So therefore, Rav is saying this is not a gilui milsa. This is not a gilui das over here. What this is a mistake on his part. He thinks he's back. He's telling him I'm back, but he really isn't considered back. So Rav says that's not a proof. Another maisa. How do you amaluhu? There was a person who was Makadish, a woman. And he says to the people who are witnessing the Kiddushin, and he says, in order to spur that he done the first stage of the marriage, the Erisin, and in order to spur the second stage of the marriage, the Nisuin, we had them at the same time. In the olden days, they would separate them by up to a year usually. And he said, in order to show his alacrity and zrizus in wanting to complete the marriage, to have the second stage of the marriage, the chuppah, he said, here, I'm marrying you now with the Erisin. Ilo nosivna, if I don't go and have the chuppah, ad losin yomin, within 30 days. In other words, if it is not a full marriage, if I don't take you to the chuppah within 30 days, so then levigita, then this is a get. Now, what happened? He wants to marry her. However, when the 30 days comes and is almost gone, he says, he tells the witnesses, listen, I've been so busy trying to rush everything to get everything ready for the wedding, I'm just not ready yet. So what's the din in this situation? He clearly is not demonstrating a lack of desire to marry the woman. On the surface, he seems to be saying, hey, I've been rushing and rushing and trying so hard to get everything ready in 30 days, I just couldn't do it. So Gemara says, "Lamai nechushlo." What's the concern over here? Imishum unsa. This is an ones. Bottom line is, the tanai was not fulfilled. He did not marry her within 30 days. It is now past 30 days. He's been trying very hard to get the hall, to get the bin, to get the food. He just wasn't able to put it all together within 30 days. So therefore, imishum unsa. If you're asking me, well, this is a case of ones, and therefore the get shouldn't take effect because it was only not accomplished the tanai. He didn't come and marry her within 30 days because of an ones. There was just too much work to be done. It was out of his control. So Gemara says, ain't ones begitin. We posit that we don't hold an ones prevents the get from coming in. It's like the river, that he couldn't get to the other side of the river. It was an ones that the ferry boat wasn't there. Sorry, Charlie, that's not our problem. Ain ones begitin. The fact that there was unexpected circumstances, something that you couldn't control, out of your ability to handle, big deal. Ain ones begitin. No, and if you want to tell me, imishum gilui da'ata begita, and you want to tell me, oh, he's clearly demonstrating that he doesn't want the get to take effect, so let's nullify the get because of that. Oh, this is in fact plukto de abaye v'rabahu, and what we're saying over here is we paskin like abaya, and sorry, this get takes effect because gilui das in this situation is lav milsahi. And therefore, even though he's screaming and saying, I want to marry this woman, I just couldn't get my act together within the 30 days. Sorry, this get takes effect. Now, that's the simple way to understand this. So here Tosus points out, in the bottom Tosus on the page, he says, Hainu l'fis faras abaye. This is according to Abaye's reasoning that gilui das in this situation is lav milsahi. Rava would say differently. He would say that Gilui Das in this situation is Milsi, but even Rava would agree, Tosu says, in this situation, because of the same reason we said before. He's arguing that I want to marry her, and therefore the Tircha that I've had in putting together, that's the explanation for why I didn't fulfill the Tanai. But he's not saying that I'm nullifying the get. He's saying that that's why the tanai shouldn't take effect. So even Rava would say in this situation that this has nothing to do with gilui das. And Rava would say, sorry, the tanai wasn't fulfilled. You think that the tanai is fulfilled because you're saying I was so busy trying to make the wedding within 30 days. That's like fulfilling the tanai, but you're wrong. That's why even Rava would say, Tosa says, that this get doesn't take effect. But it's not a proof that the opinion of Abaye is correct. Similarly, how do Amalu, a man said to a woman that he wanted to give Kiddushin to, and he said in front of the witnesses with the following tonight, Ilo nosivna l'rei sharcho de Ador, if we don't complete the second stage of marriage by the Rosh Chodesh of Ador, then levi gita, then this is in fact a get. Now, what happened? Now it comes Rosh Chodesh Adar, and they haven't done the Nisuin, the second stage of the marriage, they haven't done the Chuppah. He says, whoa, I didn't mean Rosh Chodesh Adar, I thought we were talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. He says to the witnesses, I know the Rish Achad the Nisan Amre. I thought we were dealing here with Nisan. I thought I had another 30 days. I want to marry this lady. So again, the word says, Lamein Nichushla. What's the concern over here? Imishum Onis, again, if we're saying, well, it was a mistake. He somehow in his mind had written down or thought he'd said Nisan, and had the witness say, no, you said Adar, so that's an Onis, something that he couldn't control. So again, ain't Onis by Gittin. We paskin that there is no concept of Onis by Gittin. And therefore, sorry, Charlie, again, you didn't marry her by Rosh Chodesh Adar, even though you have a perfectly valid reason why not. But you didn't marry her by Rosh Chodesh Adar. So therefore, the get is a valid get. And she's now divorced from you, even from the first stage of Erisin. Never mind that you didn't get a chance to take her in Nisun yet. Or you're going to tell me, Imishum Gili Das, or this is the Machlokis again of Abaye Verava. Again, Pluksu, the Abaye Verava. And here you see that the get is, in fact, a valid get. So we follow Abaye. The Tosu say, even Rava would agree to this over here. Bottom line is that we, in these last two cases, seem to be following the opinion of Abaye. How do we paskin? So the Gemara tells us an interesting mnemonic. V'hilchasa kinachmin, v'hilchasa kinachmin, and we turn to Lamedalad Amadeis, v'hilchasa kinachmeni. So what is this telling us over here? So Rashi explains in Dibra Maschil, v'hilchasa kinachmin, the first one, three lines in the bottom on Lamedalad Mod Aleph in the Rashis. The Amal El, we had this machlokas previously between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshis, whether you need to do it in front of two or in front of three people. That what constitutes the base in Meikar, we said that the husband could go and nullify the shlichus, at least lechatchila, without being in the presence of the wife or of the shliach, if he did in front of the base then. And we had a machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, whether it's two or three. And Rav Nachman said, bitul bishnayim, Rav Sheshes said you need three. So hilchus of the first one is like Rav Nachman, that you only need to do in front of two. That was Meikar. Then along came Rabbi Lil Azakin, and he said, no, we've made a new takana, Mibnei Tikkun Olam, that the woman will not know that her get really isn't a good get, and she'll get married, and they'll have mamzerin, and she'll be in all sorts of tsaris. So therefore, Mibnei Tikkun Olam, he said, don't do this. That was the first Hilchos of Kenachman. The second Hilchos of Kenachman, what is that referring to? Nami Adama Halacha Kirebi Bishtein. That we had yesterday in the end of this year. How do we paskin? Do we paskin? We said one opinion, actually two of them, Arayim brought down the opinion that in one situation we paskin like Rebbe, in another situation we paskin like Rishim and Gamliel, and along came Rebbe Nachman said, no, in both scenarios we paskin like Rebbe. Oh, that's the second, V'hilchasa Kinachman, like Rebbe Nachman said, that we paskin like Rebbe in both of those scenarios. And the third one, V'hilchasa, and this is on Lamedal Lamedes, V'hilchasa Kinachmeni, so this is, the halacha is like Abaye. Abaye, D'omar, Gilui Dato, Begita, Lab Milsahi, this famous statement that Abaye made, this is how we paskin, not like Rava and like Abaye. And this, Rashi tells us, Zui Achas, Mehalochos, Shosimin, Yal, Kigam. This is one of the famous six scenarios in all Shas where we paskin like Abaye over Rava. Normally we paskin like Rava, but these six exceptions, Yal, Kigam, this gimel over here is Gilui Das Begitin. That's the mnemonic, the gimel. What are the other parts of the mnemonic? So the yud is for the whole question of yeyu shlomidas, have a yeyu shanat. The ayin is eid zomein l'mafreyahu nifsal, or is he at the same time that you find it out, is he nifsal? The lamed is alechi, homemade me'elav, alechi alone is enough to go and enclose an area. The kuf is for kiddushin, shalonimsu l'biya, is that a valid kiddushin or not? The gimel we just said is gilui das megitin, and the mem is mumer, Ochel Nevelos Lahachis is Pasul Yedu Sunat. So these are the six machlokas in between Abaye and Rava. Again, our Gemara's interest over here is because of the Gilui Das Begitin. We pass like Abaye is Lav Mil Sahi. Now, why is Abaye called Nachmeni? So that's a separate interesting question that Rashi addresses here as well. There are many other explanations too. So Rashi says, V'nira B'enai, the Al Shem Shiraba Bar Nachmeni Gidel Abaye Bebeso. That Rabba Bar Nachmeni raised Abaye in his house. Abaye's father and mother had both passed away. Abaye's father passed away some time after the conception, and his mother died during childbirth, and he was raised in his uncle's house, Rabba Bar Nachmeni. And Vilamdu Torah, and he taught him Torah because he was Nebuchadnezzar Yosem, Shay Yosem. And therefore, he siu Eshem Aviv Nachmeni. So he took this orphan in, he took this child in, and he gave him the name of his own father. So Rabba, the famous Rabba that we have, Rashi tells us, Rabba Stam in Ul Shas is Rabba Bar Nachmeni. So Rabba named this orphan child that he was taking into his house after his father. He called him Nachmeni. No, why was he called Abaye? So some suggest because he didn't want to call this son by his father's name, because he named him after his father, but he himself didn't want to call his father's name to somebody else, even though he's obviously not calling his father by his first name, but he didn't even want to use his father's first name. So he called him Abaye, which essentially, if you look in the Gilyan HaShas, explains that this was saying, you, I'm calling you by my father's name. He called him my father, Abaye. If you look in the Gilyan HaShas, so he brings this down from the Aruch, Erech Abaye, Kosav B'Shem Agonim, he brings this down, the Nachmeni Shmo, his father's name was Nachmeni, V'Hoya Bar Achua de Rabba, and this child was the son of the daughter of Rabba. In other words, he was Rabba's nephew, and Bar Nachmeni, and this is Rabba Bar Nachmeni. So the grandfather's name was Nachmeni of this child as well. It was Rabba's father, and this nephew of Rabba's grandfather. So Gilyan HaShas further says, Lo HaKarle B'chol Shah Nachmeni. You want to constantly call this child Nachmeni, which is his father's name. And therefore, V'hayakari Le Abaye B'loshen Aramis Ki Adam Shekare Avi. That's where we get the name Abaye from. So that's another explanation of the Gilyan HaShas brings down. Finally, there's a famous pasuk from Hosea that says, Asher b'cho yirucham yosom. So in a person who Nebuch doesn't have parents, he doesn't have a father, he's a yosom, so he'll find mercy. And therefore, the four first letters of this words of the pasuk, Asher Aleph, b'cho beis, yirucham yosom is two yuds, and that's where we get the name Abaye from. Again, very beautiful explanation. And now we go to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Barishona, in the beginning, when they would write a get, they were not medakdik to make sure that they wrote down the name of the person in that city, even if he was known by a different name in another city. They would write down the name for the other city. As Rashi says, Kishayu lo shnei shemos. He had two names. Echad kan v'echad b'din asayam. So we would call, let's say, a person has a Yiddish name and he has a secular name, or it could be a nickname. So in one shtot, he's known by his Hebrew name, and the other shtot, he's known by a secular name. So Kishayu lo shnei shemos, echad kan v'echad b'din asayam. One in Eretz Yisrael, one in the Medina Sayam. So if he was divorcing or in Babel, they would use the secular name. Let's say if he was divorcing in Eretz Yisrael, they would use his Hebrew name. They would be makbid to write both of them. So originally, they would just write the name, whatever he was known by in that shtot. Even though he had other names, they wouldn't use the other names. Similarly with the city. Now, Rabbi Gamliel Azokin made a takona here as well, like he did previously. When Rabbi Gamliel Azokin said, no longer can the husband retract the shlichus by just going to a beis din and saying, I'm retracting the shlichus. So here too, Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Azokin, Sheikosev Ish Ploni V'chol Shum Shieslo. He said, you have to write down in the get the guy's name, the husband's name, and as well, V'chol Shum Shieslo, and any other name that he has. There's two ways to understand this. Tosus has over here, Chol Shum Shieslo. He says, you do understand it as you write down the actual other names that he has. So if he was known as, the Gemara would say, Yosef, you also have to write down Yochanan if he was known by that name as well. You actually write that down. Yosef, a.k.a., also known as Yochanan. Or alternatively, it's you write down Yosef and any other name that he's known as. So you don't have to write down the other names, you just write V'chol Shum Shieslo, literally. In any event, that's what Gamliel Azokin was masakin over here, and likewise he did for the woman, Isha Plonis V'chol Shum Shieslo. This man is divorcing his wife, Chanala, she was also known as Sarala, or any other names that she's known as. Again, the two different interpretations of Tosos, and that is the takana that Rabbi Gamliel Azokin did. Why? Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Again, what's going to happen? Rashi says, Shelo Yotzi Laz Al Boneo Min Hasheni. This woman is going to take this get married based upon this fact that she's divorced, and she's going to have children with her new husband. The children are going to grow up, and people are going to look at that get, and they say, wait a second, I knew her first husband. His name wasn't Yosef, his name was Yochanan. Somebody forged the get here. This woman wasn't married legally to the second guy because she was still married to the first guy, and these children are mamzerin. So therefore, because we don't know both the names weren't written in the get, so it's going to cause the aspersions to be cast upon the child. So, lo girsha bala, shein ze shmo. People are going to say that the husband did not, in fact, divorce this wife, and she's still married to the first husband. So therefore, again, Rabbi Gamliel Azokin made this takana because of Tikkun Olam to prevent aspersions being cast on this child that people should mistakenly say that he's a mom's. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Gemara starts off and says, Amar Yudah Amar Shmuel, Yudah said the name of Shmuel, Shol Chulei B'nei B'dinah Sayam, the Rabbi Gamliel. They asked the following Shaina, in the Bedina Sayam, the Esef the Shalit to Rabbi Gamliel in Eretz Yisrael, B'nei Adam HaBoy Mishom Likan, if people come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and in Bavel they take upon themselves a second name, new in Eretz Yisrael, they're known as Shloimi. They go to Chutz Laretz, they're known as Sal, or they pick another name, right? So, in Eretz Yisrael, Shemo Yosef, Vekoron Lo Yochanan, but here they call him Yochanan, or vice versa. Yochanan, Vekoron Lo Yosef, vice versa. So, Hech Migarshin Nishosein. What should be the nusach of a get? That's what they send to Rabbi Gamliel in Eretz Yisrael. How do we write a get when the person seems to have two names? Hech Migarshin Nishosein, there shouldn't be any problems. So, I'm Rabbi Gamliel. So, at that point, Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin went and was masakin this takana that we had in our Mishnah. So he made sure that it won't cast dispersions on the child because people suspected it's not a valid get when it really was. And therefore they'll say the child's a mamzer. So he was masaking, go right down this divorce, the husband, his name was Yosef, who's also known as Yonasan, or just write down, who also has other names. And the wife, whose name is Salva, she also has other names, or write down, also known as, Rachel. Okay. That's what the takana was. Now, Amar Ravashi says, but this was only needed, Rabbi Gamliel's takana was only needed, who, the Ischazik betray Shmei, when a guy had two names, or the wife had two names. But if they only had one name, you don't have to write down the name of the husband and any other name he's known at. If we don't know he was known as any other names, then you don't have to write it down. And even if he did eventually have another name, it wouldn't be the Eved ruined again. That's what Ravashi said. Rabbi Abba now brings others that hold like Ravashi. Amalei Rabbi Abba Ravashi. Rabbi Abba says to Ravashi, oh, you're not a das yachid. Rav Mari, Rabbi Elazar, also, kaimei kavosech, they also hold like you. So not only is your opinion that Rabbi Gamliel's takana was only if there was a person that had two names or the wife had two names, Rav Mari and Rav Elazar also say the same thing. And there's a brisa also in support of Ravashi. Tani Kavasi the Ravashi. Not only these two Amoraim, Rav Mari and Rav Elazar agree with him, but we even have a brisa that agrees with Ravashi. Hayulosh Neinosh. The brisa says if a man has two wives, Achas Yehuda v'Achas Galil. One of the wives lives in Yehuda, and one of the wives lives in the Galil. V'Losh Nei Shemos, and he has two names. He used one name when he was in Yehuda, but by a different name when he was in the Galil. Echad Yehuda v'Achad Galil. And now, he divorced each of his wives, respectively, the wife that lived in the Yehuda region, so he used his Yehuda name in the get, and the wife that lived in the Galil, he used his Galil name in the get. So, in this situation, the Brisa states, Eina Migoreshes. We're concerned about the Takana Rav Galil Hazaken, and both names were not mentioned or used, and therefore, his takana says, not only is it not good l'chachilo, it's not even good bid the eved. The basin has the power to uproot this get totally. It's not a valid get until Ashigaris is Yisro Shev Yehuda. When he divorces his wife in Yehuda, he has to use his Yehuda name as well as his Galil name. So he has to go Ashigaris is Yisro Yehuda Bishmo Shev Yehuda, and as well Vishem the Galil Imo. He has to write down in the get. When they write up the get, they have to write down that the husband, whose name is Yosef, and also known as Yochanan, so they have to write that down. The Brisa continues and says, Yotzo l'makom acher, if, however, he went to another place, not Yehuda and not the Galil, the Girish be'echemim, and he goes and divorces his wife, only using one of his two names in that place, Migoreshes, then she is divorced. The Gemara says, wait a second, that contradicts the Sefer that we just read. Seems to contradict the Reisha. But Amris, Shem Degolul Imo, he had to go and say both names. How come you hear you saying in the second part of the Brisa, Yotzel Malkumacha, Vigerish Be'echod Mehen, that's perfectly fine, Migoreshes? So Gemara says, mustn't it be? This is the Tanya Kavosi the Ravashi. So in this situation, Eloshlav Shmamina, it must be talking about Hodis Chazek in the Reisha, he was known to have two names. And in the Sefer, Yotzel Mokum Acher, it's talking about a different case. The Ischazik, in that situation, only with one name. So the first part of the Brisa, so the Ischazik, that he had two names. The second part, Hodolo Ischazik, that he had two names, he only had one name. Oh, Tanya Kavosi, the Ravashi, Shma Mina. This is a good Raya. Finally, the Gemara concludes and says, Hahi, the Havu Korola Miriam. There once was a woman who was known by the name of Miriam. Uporta Sara, but she was also known by a small number of people as Sara. And then this woman needed a get. So they said, in Nardoi, I'm in Nardoi, Miriam, they call Shum Sheishla. V'lo Sarah v'choshem she'eshla. So you use the first name is the primary name that she was known by. Most people call her Miriam. So you write down, this woman is being divorced, her name is Miriam. And then the AKA, also known as, then you write that for Sarah. But don't do it the other way around. Use the less common name and say, Sarah, also known as Miriam. No, say in that situation, the more common name first, also known as, the lesser well-known names second. Okay, let's do the next Mishnah. It's a relatively short shir still. We won't go that much longer. So the Mishnah starts off and says, Ein almona nifras minichsa yisomim el b'shvua. If an almona wants to go and collect her ksuba, she's allowed to live in the husband's house. The husband never passed away. She can live in the house. The yisomim have to support her. However, she now wants to go and collect her ksuba. She wants to maybe get remarried, so she wants to go collect her ksuba. So the almona is not allowed to go and collect her ksuba from the yisomim unless she makes a shvua. There's always a concern that maybe she took some of her ksuba, the yisomim don't know about it. Therefore, she has to swear to the yisomim or to the guardians of the yisomim that she didn't collect any or all of her ksuba, and only then, when she makes a shvua, is she allowed to go collect the ksuba. Then the Mishnah says, based upon a story that we'll have in the Gemara, where in Nebuch, a person swore falsely, even though they didn't do it on purpose, and terrible things happened to them, so the rabbis stopped the almana from making a shvua. Nimnu milashbia, and she isn't allowed to go and collect her ksuba anymore from the yisomim. Now that's a huge problem. So how do you get around that? If you're not going to let her swear, and you have to swear, so how do you get around that? So hiskin rabbi gamliel hazakin. So here's another takana from gamliel hazakin. Shetei no deres li yisomim komashi yirtzu. They'll make a neder rather than a shvua. Now, a shvua, as we'll see, we're talking here about a shvua doraisa, which will be with nikita skeifes. You have to take something. So, like Avram was making Eliezer swear, so you do it with the kita schefetz. He took the milah in his hand, so you have to go and swear with the sefer Torah, or you do it in a shul. You do it in a room with candles, so to really put this into a ema situation, a fearful situation that a person won't swear falsely, as opposed to a shul. The rabbanon is different, as we'll see in the Gemara. And likewise, a neder doesn't have the same severity or consequences to it as does a shvua that's broken. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin was masakin over here that the wife would be able to go collect her ksuba from the estate without having to make a shvua, but instead would go and make a neder. So she'll say, if I collected any of my ksuba, all the pharaohs of the world would be awesome to me. And in this way, shetein oderis liyisomim komashir, so whatever they're asking as the neder, she'll take upon herself that, and then the gobe ksubasa. And she'll be able to go collect the ksuba, and we don't have the concerns that the Gemara will relate in terms of if she were to swear falsely, there was some very big concerns, a terrible tragedy could happen. And at the same time, she doesn't go and take the money from the yisomim without doing something, such as a neder, and also this will enable her to go collect her ksuba. The Mishnah concludes and says, "Oedim chosman ala get." Another thing that they made a takana was to make Edim sign on the get. We'll discuss this more when we get to the Gemara as well. This obviously goes according to the opinion that normally you just needed Edim Asira Karsi, Rabbi Elazar's opinion. And therefore, even Rabbi Elazar said that the Edim Achosman Ala Get, we'll discuss this more when we get to the Gemara, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, in order that there shouldn't be problems in Tikkun Olam. What is this Tikkun Olam over here? To facilitate the women being able to go collect the ksuba, so they have the additional proof that this suba was real by having the witnesses on this get. And Rashi points out, this was another takana of Rabbi Gamliel HaZokin. Tosos, which is found on Lamed Vav and Aleph, as you can see the Besor Sashas, disagrees a little bit with that. It says this was an earlier takana. In any event, this is another takana that we have. And finally, the Mishnah lists another takana. Here, this is from Hillel. The Hillel, Hiskin, Peruzbul, Mnetik and Olam. Rabbi Gamliel HaZokin was the grandson of Hillel. So this certainly is not by Rabbi Gamliel HaZokin. So Hillel was Misakin Peruzbul, which we've already explained a couple of times recently, as well as many times in the press, Daf Yomi Shiur, that when the end of the Shemitah comes about, so there is an opinion that you do it at the beginning of the Shemitah year, but the way we pass it is by the end of the Shemitah year, if you didn't have your documents signed over to the Beis Din, so they would be null and void. They wouldn't be allowed to be collected anymore. The Shemitah would be Mishametis. The conclusion of the Shemitah would be Mishametis, these outstanding debts. So Hillel's Misakin, that you write this Prusbul, so you give over the debt to the Beis Din, essentially, and this way the Beis Din can still collect the debt, because you're not over lo yigos, and this way it's actually good for the poor people, because the rich people will be willing to go and take a loan to them 3 months before the end of the Shemitah year. Otherwise, who's going to be crazy enough to go loan somebody something, which it's a year loan, but in 3 months they don't have to pay it back? So you're never going to get people to lend money in that situation. So therefore, Hillel is Misakin. This is another example of Tikkun Olam. We start the Gemara and says, why did the Mishnah tell us specifically over here, Ein Almana Nifras Minifse Yisomim, my Yiri Almana, Afilu Kuli Almanami? It should be everybody. Nobody's allowed to go collect from the Yisomim, from the estate, without making a Shua. Dokaimalon, as we've learned, Haboli Farim Minifse Yisomim, Lo Yipar El Bishua. Anybody coming to collect, not only the Almana, a Grusha, a debtor, a Balchov, anybody that is going to go and collect from the Yisomim, since the Yisomim don't know anything about their father's business, so therefore you have to swear. So why did our Mishnah tell us, Bedavka and Almona? So where it says, Almona, it's Trichle. It specifically had to tell us about an Almona. Why is that? Because so, if we'd be left to our own without mentioning Almona in the Mishnah, you know what I would have said, and we turn to Lamed Heyam and Aleph, that Mishum Chino, I would have said that because of our desire to make women much more likely to accept a marriage proposal, so we want to make sure that the women will feel comfortable that they'll collect the ksuba chas v'shalom if their husband dies. Now, in this situation, as Rashi points out, this will facilitate by this takana. I might have said that this would be the rabbis would allow an almana to go collect without making a shua, because if the woman knows that she'll be able to collect without making a shua, she'll be quicker to accept kiddushin. Oh, kamashulah, that's not true. Even though we have this concept of making the woman as desirable as possible to want to go and marry the husband, so in this situation, the rabbis did not nevertheless say the woman can collect without making a shua. So here too, that's the Kamash Balon. You might have thought that the rabbis didn't institute it for an almana. So the answer is, yeah, even an almana has to go make a shua before collecting from the Yisomim. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.